This person writes, "Dear David, further to your earlier comment on the subject of Republic Bank charges, I went into the bank to set up a monthly direct debit panel to BARP, $170 a month. The customer service agent at the bank told me that with effect from 1st of March 2018, there will be a monthly charge of $30 debited to my account each month as the BARP payment is issued. This high charge, says the writer, is excessive and outrageous. Imagine $30 on every direct debit on probably more than 3,000 customers each month. The bank is ridiculous. These are the things that you guys need to be talking about and fixing these problems rather than all sorts of trivia trying to make yourselves, some of you, trying to make yourselves relevant in the wrong way, because you can be relevant to society by focusing on things like this. This is outrageous. And as I said from the very beginning, we are in a situation where it seems as though we have no cover. There is nobody speaking on our behalf on these matters. We also have a situation in this country where this whole network, telecommunications network on the telephones, has broken down considerably. More and more places you travel in Barbados, the service has dropped out, unavailable. There was a time when we were led to believe that we would have had an improvement in this kind of service by virtue of the competition that existed in the market. But unfortunately, that is not so. And why it is important is because if the internet goes off today, stop and think how business comes to a virtual standstill in Barbados. It is now a vital part of what Barbados needs to be competitive in the world. And we need to embrace technology and use it to the max. But who speaks on our behalf? Who says this is not good enough? Who sends a signal to the telecoms companies and citizens, get your act together, you are hurting Barbados? Nobody. This is down to brass tacks.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Okay, fine. I'm going back here a bit, right? On the 16th of January, government brought a supplementary for $258,900, inclusive of $120,000 for the consultant, Mr. Gyson Mears. That's in an additional 6 months, and bringing the total to he had the agreement for $300,000 in the first case, then the $120,000 brought it to $420,000.
This is the consultancy in what area?
He is the National Risk Assessment and Mutual Evaluation Exercise of the Anti-Money Laundering and Counter-Financing of Terrorism. Mm-hmm. Regime of Barbados.
Right.
He was made this in position in on the 30th, well, sometime in May 2016. But obviously government extended it. Now, it's also significant that Mr. Mears is also the chairman of the Police Service Commission. To my mind, this seems as though if it's a conflict of interest. We're having both, holding down both these positions.
Well, explain, therefore, how would you see them conflicting with each other?
Yeah. Because, as I said, they're both, to my mind, they're both high-profile positions.
But being high-profile, both high-profile,
that's all that
enough.
I have to say.
Okay.
That's all that I have to say. Because the PSC is a government entity. The Police Commission, Service Commission, I don't believe that no one should be holding that position and also holding the one for the...
No. I am ready to walk with you and to go with you if only you can support it in a logical way. And from what you are saying right now, you have not established a conflictual situation yet. Don't tell me just because they're high profile and they're government positions.
Forget about the high profile.
But they're two government positions.
Yeah.
That cannot. So you got to show me how the work of one could conflict with the work of the other. That's all.
Yes. You got this is the same one with the national risk assessment for counterterrorism and financing terrorism and things. This brought together several private and public agencies, right? Like the Central Bank, the Fed Police, the Customs, the DPP, Solicitor General, amongst others. Now, whereas they tried to validate giving him this position. To my mind, right, I find that would be wasted. Well, not really necessarily wasted. But you have people in these positions, in the police, for instance, in the customer or the Central Bank, could have taken up that role as the consultant.
That is true. But as I was just saying to you, and you know that I have a lot of time for your analysis on many occasions. On this occasion, I can't agree with you that you have laid a good enough foundation for the allegation that there is a conflict here. I don't think so.
Why you don't think so?
Because you haven't. Shown me conclusively how the work of one will conflict with the other.
So you're working, this risk thing is working with the said police. He is the chairman for the police commission.
But your question is, will you be working in a complementary manner or in a manner where it will conflict? one position can also complement the other.
It's possible, but
yes.
It's also a conflict.
You know, the police service, what is the police service commission concerned with? It is concerned with appointments in the force. It is concerned with the discipline of the force.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So how does that conflict with the anti-money laundering position?
So why couldn't the government? Actually, he seems very favored by this government, really, to tell the truth, right?
That may be so, but let me say to you, look, there's a day when you can appear as though you're just going after a particular individual, and when you can't get anything to stick properly. Because perhaps you might not have done enough homework on it, then you still got to find some way to go after the man. That don't make no sense. I am not here to encourage personal attacks. That is not useful. Have gone so far, you have not yet been able to substantiate your position. And rather than stop there now, you're going on now to talk about how favored he is by the administration. What else are you going to come with after that?
Okay. When he was made the police commissioner,
you're still pressing ahead with it? Tell me. I forgot to take a commercial break, though. Sorry. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon, David.
Yes, welcome to the program.
Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Pretty poker.
Yes.
What I want to talk to you today about is, I find, right, David, that a lot of times you try to be very objective and accommodating sometimes. So people, they listen to that, trying to make a case where there is none on the part of the present administration. For instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you say that you associate the Democratic Labour Party, this is the Prime Minister's word, with the church, that it is in common with the church, I'm just asking a question now. Is the church in our social setting taking from the people, and leaving them, right, less able to function in our society? And those that are in authority better off than these people? Because if you look at the present administration, what have been done to the people in a social setting, we talk about the lower end of society and the middle class, we have been totally disadvantaged, both financially, right, and in a sense of psychologically. Because you have these people feeling, you know, a sense of deception. If you're posing as a people's party, someone who come to give people a better life, more hope, as you associating yourself with the church, people don't expect to be worse off, right?
Quite frankly, I don't really understand why you are getting into all of this examination of the comment and that sort of thing, because quite frankly, a politician has spoken, and therefore I take it in that context. Being associated with the church is a very loose and minimal statement. It does not say much. It does not. Anybody who tells me that, if you came here and you said that to me in brass tacks, I would ask you what that really means. Give me a better appreciation and understanding of what you are telling me. What does that mean? How does your party, or any other party for that matter, show that link with the church? Does it do so by giving it a subvention? And is that enough? You know, do you do so by having a church service at every anniversary, only trying to give, and I'm saying this across the board because all of the political parties seem to be involved in this, to give everybody the impression that they respect God, and therefore, if you are a God-fearing person, you should love my party too, because, you know, we are all on the same page. And you know the real test? The real test is how you actually conduct your affairs as a person and as a government, as a leader. That is where people are in a position to judge. When you go on the political platform cursing people, if you do that, to what extent does that conflict with the whole notion of what you are supposed to believe in as a church-going person and a God-fearing person? You and I, during this campaign that is coming up shortly, are going to be in a good position to hear who connected to the church and who is not. Because the amount of time that is going to be spent attacking individuals rather than dealing with the real issues of this country, like the sewage project and the economy, the problems with the roads, giving young people a sense of hope, looking at the fact that our birth rate is falling, and as we look down the road, our national insurance costs going up, and they're also planning to impose another national insurance commitment on us with health care. All right, that is, you could anticipate that as night follows day. All right, you can anticipate, for instance, that there will be an increase in water rates. All right, and if you're not careful, there might also be an increase in natural gas rates as well, because natural gas is one of the cheapest things around here. All right. So you can anticipate that there will be a merging of statutory corporations in some cases, and that some may collapse, and that jobs are going to be lost there. These are the things that, you know, they stare you in the face. You know they're coming. And if they don't come one way, they're going to come another.
So, but David, how you could come back to people, right, for another mandate that you have promised people so much in terms of.
But that is for you to discuss with the Democratic Labour Party and their people when they come to you. You know, on both sides of this, on all sides, there are relevant questions to be posed. The Barbados Labour Party, too, would be asked, how can you come and promise us all of these things now? You were in power for 14 years prior to this, and you never do this, and you never do that. And, you know, and what is there about your mix of candidates that makes them different from them? You know, at the end of the day, everybody is pulled from the same society, have the same expectations, the same view that you get into politics now, and this puts you in a position of privilege, and you can position your career. Even if you lose power, somebody end up working with an international organization because they spend enough time trying to create those linkages and that sort of thing. You know, somebody else make sure that they position themselves so that they got enough salted away that they could live relatively comfortable for the next couple of years or so until the next election. And, you know, that's the perception that does not only apply to people who may be in politics or in office today, but it is the perception of what most politicians, not all, but most politicians are about today. How do they change that? What do they do to make us have a greater degree of confidence that as a politician, it is about service to the people, and it is also about deportment and conduct? And you can't come telling me that you against people shooting bullets up in the sky down in Deacon's Road and frightening everybody else around you. But then your behavior on the political platform isn't much different when it comes to the way that you are trying to bully and intimidate other people. Yeah. Same thing. You know, you can't have it both ways. You cannot be condemning small people out here for the things that they do, but believe that you're in a privileged position and nobody is going to call you out on it.
David, I want to say one thing to you that was really concerning to me. When you spoke to the Attorney General on Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was quite appalled at his response in telling you that he has given the commissioner and the director of public prosecution the free will to prosecute any one of his members, that he would not intervene. I thought that was so cavalier and out of order. You know that
let's be honest, he has no special privilege in that regard.
You know what I mean?
To have no power to tell anybody. He can't give that power and take it back.
You know
that power, that is how it is. No, if he has created for himself that kind of power, then something wrong.
Correct. You know, it was so funny. Anyway, thanks, Dave.
Have okay. And for something that we need to pay greater attention to, a trend that is really worth focusing on and talking about, here's Kimar Safri, who deals with the vagrants and the homeless. Good morning, Mr. Safri.
Hi, good morning, David.
Yes, what's happening now?
Yes, here at the Barbados Vagrants and Homeless Society headquarters, we just had our session that we normally have with breakfast and with the homeless community. And after the session, we had a talk, and one of the guys, a couple of the guys are here, they came to us to explain about a robbery that took place on Wednesday, that five of them were actually robbed one time by men that had knives.
Where? Can these guys talk to us?
They're actually here, and they're willing to talk to Barbados.
Put on one of them for me. Let me hear what the story is.
All right. 1 minute. right?
Yes. Now, remember, it wasn't so long ago that a similar incident occurred.
David,
yes, we are here. Yes.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah.
What's been the problem? What's the experience?
The problem, your experience is not nice. And the problem is that other young people from the world were robbing the vagrants. I myself have seen it, and I myself was a victim. And it's not nice. And you go to the police, the authority, and they have like a jaw.
When did your incident occur?
Wednesday.
What happened? Tell us about it.
We were in a park, socializing, Queen's Park, and these two young gentlemen would just walk off the road.
About what time this happened?
It wasn't the first thing that came. They came already, but it went to somewhere else.
What time? About what time?
I was after 7 in the night.
Wow.
Park dark, little light, the girls, I don't know where they were. And it just happened. And it could have turned out different or worse. Because if the five of us had retaliated and killed one of those, what they would have said. They would have called it murder. But two of them walk off the road. I had to kill one of the other homeless persons. What would they call it?
So what did they take from you all?
Clothes, money, phones, anything of valuable. And I believe if we try to defend ourselves, it will get out of hand. And it is going to get out of hand.
So how scary is it?
Because they're going to come again.
How scary is it out there?
Very scary. And it is going to get more serious. So this is in public, no?
So five of you at one time?
Yeah.
All of you young or?
Yeah, young people.
You are young too?
Yeah, I'm young. I'm a young man.
And the other guys, the four guys who are with you or were with you at the time, they too?
Yeah, they are young. All of us are young people. 33, between the ages of 20 to 33.
Talk to me though about being homeless out there. What caused this?
Well, financial problems, home, not want to be wrong family.
Not wanting to be a wrong family.
Yeah, and you're not homeless because you get homeless, or you choose to be homeless.
Why?
Because I choose to be homeless.
Why?
I have places I could go, but I choose to be homeless. I don't know why you're amongst you people. Because
so this wouldn't, something like this wouldn't force you to go home?
Why? That's exactly, I'm going to go home. I left another homeless guy, a real homeless person on the street, to be attacked by these same bullies, and yet the joint public keeps denying the fact what is happening.
I am sympathetic. I am sympathetic to the concern that you raise about being vulnerable out there. And surely it seems as though it may well be the same group of people doing this, and the police need to take it seriously because, as you said, if they don't, then it is quite possible that somebody can be killed in these circumstances. Now, but what bothers me also is your position. You can't get along with family, so you decide that you're going to go out there on the street, which implies to me that you feel that life is easier for you on the street than being at home. Agreed?
Because of family.
Because of family. What? Explain to us why it is so difficult to live with family. What makes that so difficult?
I work.
Yes.
You work, you help pay bills, and it's not enough for the family. It's not satisfying in your mother and father. So you leave. I'm going to live nowhere that I'm not happy and comfortable. And the people I'm among on the streets, I live with them happily and comfortable.
Because you don't have to pay bills.
As in pay bills, like when I get my money, I help deal with my brothers on the street, the ones that don't work.
Oh, you help them out.
The older ones.
Okay.
Because not just all young people, they have a few older men as well.
Yes.
And it's frustrating to see older people being robbed and abused.
You see a lot of that?
Yes. Us young people, we don't just see them. There's only so much we will take. So we want the public to know that at least be considerate to the people on the streets that are homeless. You don't know why he's homeless. You just hear my homeless. You hear my homeless, but you don't know why he was homeless or how he got homeless. If he had a sickness or
something. But you know, if your mother and your father hear you on the radio today, they will sit down there and shake their heads and say, look, he could be here living and being protected. But just because we say to him that he is not contributing enough, he decides that he's going to walk out and take his chances out there with these people who could come at him anytime, day or night, and kill him. How would you respond to them?
Why would I leave another man to bear something that I should know I could take myself? Why should I go home and leave another brethren to be abused by people?
All right, so if you are that concerned, if you're that concerned about it,
on the street.
What do you think we can do collectively then to protect those brethren, as you call them, on the streets? What is the best that this society could or should do to address the problem?
Hear my word. Hear me well. Show love to one another.
No, but you know, people, this thing about showing love is one thing, but sometimes you got to do more than show love. You got to create some mechanism.
David, just to jump in here a little bit, and that's what I always share with Barbados. There's so many different reasons for homelessness and so many different reasons people are on the streets in Barbados. And not all of it stems from drugs, not all of it stems from family, not all of it stems from mental. There's all other reasons. And obviously, you know, everybody have their reasons for being on the streets and what. In this case, with the young gentleman, as you said, he can go back home but choose not to with the family. I think on a collective end, if Barbados could come together, be more serious. And I think this is why we're bringing no persons or women and letting them speak freely to the public of how they feel to speak about the situation and about their circumstances, that people could have a better understanding of white persons on the street. But at the end of the day, to collectively look at it, I think that the seriousness of the crime on homelessness
must be addressed.
For any other reason, I think we need to address it.
It needs to be addressed. The other guys who are there with you, who else is there?
I have another guy here as well that is also homeless. And obviously he has a different perspective of why he's homeless, and he's also been a victim and also seen other homeless being a victim of this crime on it. So you can go ahead and speak with him.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Morning. Tell me, what is your assessment of the situation?
Well, my assessment of the situation is that the government needs to do more for the homeless, because the homeless is the same people who was part of the government or working for the government. They pay tax, they work hard, but for one reason or the next, they find themselves on the street. Some people choose to, some people is forced to, some is because of relationships with women, some is habits, some is sickness. So it's a broad scope of reasons why people are on the street. My situation is because of a relationship. I got depressed, got caught up in alcohol, drugs, got a stage where I didn't really, I was always in control of myself. I'm a person who was deported from America. I came back here, I had a small farm and everything was going good. With a person who came from overseas, she was here illegal, on a holiday. We had a business together. She overstayed, had a business. We had a small farm together. Things didn't work out. I ended up in court.
Don't tell me any more about the lawyer's behavior, because obviously you are not too happy with that. But at the end of the day, you have been out there on the street. Now, tell me about this experience of being robbed out there.
Well,
is it the first time?
You have individuals that at this time, I don't know why they're choosing vagrants, but I guess they figure that a lot of older folks, you know, they get pension checks. So I guess that they figured that they're easy target. And no, I want to say that the police is not doing nothing, because I've seen detectives in the square where the fountain is there. I see them late at night surfacing, trying to get as much information as they can. But these individuals, there's like more than one group, or I don't know if they're connected or disconnected, but sometimes they come in two, sometimes they come in four, because I heard different scenarios where there was a couple on Browns Beach. They were on the beach having a little makeup do, and two fellas turned up by the man and girl, made the girl run, and then two more fellas came, and it was four fellas now robbing the girl. So it's different perspectives. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening to you, and the real problem here is that it seems to me as though we have an increasing number of people, especially men, going on the streets.
You mean as homeless?
Homeless. People who decide, some are indeed homeless, some decide that they're going to walk away from home. As the guy with you said earlier, he got some place to go, but he can't get along with the people, so he's decided to leave. For whatever reason, am I correct in saying that we are seeing more and more people come out there?
Yeah, David, keep myself real. Yeah, there have been an increase so far for the year. I think our numbers are at least 27 for the year that are homeless, and I think only one of them are females out of the 27 that have become homeless for the year that we have recorded. Cause,
so what's your total number of homeless now?
The total number between 2012 to now will be about 527, 528, around there, will be the total amount of persons. Right now, last year alone was about 98 new persons that became homeless on top of the one that we would have been dealing with. So we still have not completed. So if you add that 97, 98 onto that 27 that we have now, you could have well over 100 plus persons on the streets right now.
And what pressure is that putting on your services and perhaps what you see as the pressure on the state?
So, I mean, that's putting a lot of pressure because obviously the finances, we don't have it. We don't have the finances as persons would think that we do. We are surviving solely on persons that give us donations on a day-to-day basis or corporate barbers that give. But obviously with the increase now, it's putting a lot of pressure on us as an organization for resources we do not have. And obviously we've been trying to raise enough funds that we can look at the shelters to protect persons. Because at the end of the day, yes, we understand that some people do come on the streets for some reason or the other, some that we think that they should not be, and we encourage persons, just like we would encourage this young man to go back home, but we will also work with the family. But until then, there's still what we consider our problem in the fact that they are on the street, that we need to protect them while they're on the street because they are citizens, they are human beings. So at all costs, I think regardless of the circumstances, when someone is on the street, we need to protect the fact that when persons are on the street, they should not be robbed, they should not be beaten, they should not be treated in any ill-mannered way. So we really need to address it, and you know, we ask as much Barbadians to support.
What are the police telling you? Because the average person out there, it is one thing to say we need to support, but you know, these people are out in Queen's Park and places like that. I don't think that you're going to get a vigilante group out there to protect them. So you're going to rely heavily upon the state. What are the police saying?
So we've had a series of meetings with some police that we've talked with about working closely. I think it needs to be a little bit more strengthened. And the last time I was on with Sanka, the officer did give me his number to reach out to him. I'm still trying to reach out to him. I've called him a few times. I've not gotten any response. But the guys were saying that they went to the police and the police were laughing at them. And then when they said that, they told the police that, you know, the next time they can kill somebody, if they come around, the police telling them that that's premeditated murder. But again, if these guys are going to police and complaining about the situation that they face, I think that the police need to take these things seriously. And the fact that these guys could identify those persons. So you could actually, you know, catch these culprits faster because they could identify the persons easily because it's not a war that they're getting robbed. These same persons keep coming back. And as the guy said, if they had to retaliate, you know, murder somebody, you hear a homeless person or a vagrant kill somebody. So I think the police need to seriously step up, do some patrolling around these more frequented areas where the homeless are.
This problem is much bigger than that, though. And it strikes me that as the problem grows, it is important that government gets non-governmental support in trying to shoulder the burden. So I'm surprised to hear that there's no government support for an agency like yours, because the government cannot.
Over 8 years.
The government cannot take care of this situation all on its own, and
David, neither can the Barbados Vagrants and Homeless Society.
Of course, we appreciate that.
The
question is: so why is it that the government has decided that they're not going to give you all any support?
David, I said it before, and I say no for the public of Barbados here. I really, really, and I say real blood, don't care if the government has to give the Barbados Vagrants and Homeless Society support. Even if the government choose to do it on their own, fine by us. But at the end of the day, I think that the real issue is that the homeless in this country needs to be looked at just like any other cause or any other situation. And it does not have to come through us. It can come through the state itself. But I think that it needs to be addressed. Needs to be addressed urgently. It is a lot of burden on
the There support. Are two aspects to this. There is the assistance at the end of the spectrum, when you have to deal with it. But there is a lot of work that needs to be done on preventing it. What are of all of these reasons that you have given us, when you look at this problem, what are the interventions that you believe need to be undertaken to reduce the incidence of people doing this?
David, when you only have one supply gullet shelter which operates where men are actually living in the shelter, working in the shelter, and are not moving out to the shelter, and you have an increase of people coming onto the street, you don't have any building to put them in where you can say if they're in a building, you can give them programs, you can give them, you can get them off the streets. They won't have to sleep on the streets at night. You need a building where they can go so that you, and that is what we are proposing to have in the next couple of weeks. We are still trying to get make sure that with support from the public and with support from funders that we can have a shelter, because that is going to be your key preventive prevention in terms of...
No, but the shelter is only after the people leave their homes. I'm saying we have to deal with that at different levels. I agree with you.
In terms of we going to schools, in terms of we talking
no,
to
no,
the
no.
I, public, in terms of when persons call us and say...
Hold on a minute, please. I don't really believe that this is just your problem, quite frankly. This is a national issue. And therefore, what I am searching for is not just a question of what your organization believes it can do.
Right.
When you look at the totality of the problem is what I'm looking at. What do you think are some of the things that a combination of the state and and the private sector and non-governmental societies, what is required to help intervene in some of these situations where... So many men are coming out on the street. So many men.
Narita, I think that the government needs to provide shelter. You have people from all different aspects of, they need to provide a building which can host many people. They need to have like something to do with the mental, where individuals are staying at the shelter could have medication. You have to need something from the clinic if some person has HIV.
All right. Let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
You shared with me your experience of having a broken relationship and stuff.
Yes.
And this is what, in your judgment, caused
it
you
became
to be
disillusioned.
Out there, to become disillusioned.
Yeah.
If you saw a young man who said to you, this is what I'm going through today, what, based on your experience, would you recommend should be done to stop him from ending up like you?
I would say to him, he needs to get early intervention, find some person he can relate his story to, have a listening ear.
No, so that's a weakness, and that is a weakness in our system, right?
Because
it's hard to find somebody.
Nature of people.
It's hard to find somebody. So would that not stand out as one of the first things that we should be searching for?
I agree. Because, but the government has to intervene.
The organization does provide that. The organization does provide counseling every day for the men. We do provide the listening ear. We do provide the intervention within the schools.
When they're already out on the street?
No. If a person called us at an early stage that they said, and we could only know that. You see, David, just to go back a couple of years ago, we went to the Constituency Council. And we said to the Constituency Council, we wanted to do what you call a community partnership for homelessness, which would have allowed us to go into communities if there's somebody that is coming homeless and the community councils wanted to call us in for the intervention or somebody was in a state where they say where they think about becoming homeless or whatever the case may be, we would have gone into that constituency, use the constituency office within that area to prevent that person from becoming homeless by early intervention, as the gentleman here is saying. So we did propose all of this, and that was not taken because we did right through the ministry, That did not go through that. We now work with families in terms of getting people back home. So, yes, the gentleman here is saying he's on the street because he chooses because of family. But we do intervene in family, go to the houses of the families, sit down with the families, talk with the families to make sure that there could be some sort of resolution that they can get
and
back.
How many people you have doing this work?
How many people? We only have four full-time staff, but we have counselors that that work with us. We have a whole set of counselors that work with us.
Who pays them?
So we do, pardon me?
Who pays those counselors?
The organization has to pay. If we don't have money, we ask the ones that are...
But that's the point I'm making here, that in looking at this problem, we got to go where we commend your organization for the effort that it's making. And we believe that you need some financial support from government. It's legitimate. Having said all of that, though, I'm saying that based upon the figures that you have put before us, this problem requires more than that from your end. You're doing the best that you can. You can get some support, but even with that support, there's only so much. And what we have is you're showing us a trend here that many of us have warned was going to take place. And this country is watching it take place, doing nothing about it, and a lot of resources are being wasted. Now, I spoke to a sociologist just a few nights ago, and he said that a lot of the work that he has done indicates that some of the most vulnerable people in Barbados, men, are married men. That married men are more likely to end up out on the streets than married women. All right? And that essentially, this is not just peculiar to Barbados, but he suggested that this is a regional experience that we need to tackle. These issues are not being spoken of. These people who are supposed to be the policymakers and the ones who are aspiring to be policymakers go out on their campaign trail and pick what they see as the sexy issues, the biggest ones that will impact on us, and ignore these other matters. That this is growing from what you're telling me, and it's a major issue.
I've said it to certain politicians. I'm willing to go on any political platform in this election and talk about this, because if they think of just talking the pretty stuff and talking, that's not. I'm willing to go on any political platform or any party and talk about this issue. This issue has been weighing on us in this office and weighing on the shoulders of the homeless for a long time, and it's not an addressed issue. And I would love to ask Minister Blackett why have this issue not been addressed, because we have been going at this. I've met with the ministries and the different leaders, and I've said to them, there's going to be an increase in homelessness in this country. I was laughed at and said it is foolishness. And now it is increased where when persons come out of prison, when persons get deported, whenever they come here at the Barbados Bay Home Society, we only have so much, but whatever we have, we give the world to them. But yes, as you said, it needs to be a collective approach. The battering on the homeless and the robbing and the beating, we just had a guy that was beating with the 2x4 the other day. This is crazy. So this is really getting out of our hand where it needs a state intervention. And as I said before, I said again, it does not have to come through the Barbados Bay Home Society. They just need to be addressed at whatever. And that's why I brought these guys to the forum today, so that Barbados doesn't think that.
Well, I heard from two of them. I'm going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I want you to put the other three on for me quickly.
There's only one here right now, and okay. He's refusing to speak because of the situation. The other two is not here, David, so we only have
he's
three
afraid.
Here,
he's afraid.
When you come back, we have to hear something.
Okay.
16 minutes to noon.
Yes, down to brass tacks. We were talking with Kimar Safri and a couple of guys there who were robbed in the Queen's Park. Homeless people who had been robbed of their phones and whatever else they would have had.
Eden?
Yes. This is the third of the people.
Yeah, I do. I also have my case manager here, just in case you need to ask any questions. She deals directly with all the clients and all the cases as well.
Mm-hmm.
So just in case.
So who said they wanted to speak just before?
I think that
this is not even the tip of the iceberg, because I know there's a lot of ladies, young girls, that they live in homes with families, but they have not much to eat. They go out and sleep with guys just to have something to eat, and they're not. Sooner or later they're going to be on the streets. They have a lot of more men who are home very uncomfortable. They spend a lot of time on blocks smoking weed. They don't get a proper meal. They're like a step away from home. And I think it is part of the mindset of the society, just how the mindset of the society was with inmates. People, when they go to jail, they come out, they were like ostracized from society. I find that Barbarians have an old slave master mentality, and they need to free their minds and be more open-minded and loving towards each other. Do not think that because you have a job, there's some people that work in government, and they get laid off. I have heard it. You have heard it on the radio. And the quickest they get laid off, they say, I don't have no food home. I don't have this. So there's a lot of people in Barbados that is a step away from being homeless.
So I think the system, private sector, the government, and whoever in position that they could assist, they need to see the God part of themselves, because most of them are supposed to be God-fearing people, caring and loving. That's what I hear every some person on the radio talk, they talk good beings are and all this and that. But from the woman's point of view, or the disenchanted point of view, you don't see that love and that caring from the society or the government.
Okay, you know that they have different points of view here. You will have some people in this audience who would be highly sympathetic and say, we understand, and there but for the grace of God go I. And then there are some people who will say, you know what? You have had opportunities. You have wasted your opportunities. And therefore, you have to suffer the consequences of your failure. There are people like that.